Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Love it. All right. Good morning to you. Well, there's one other thing you can do. Well, there's two things you can do. One is not have Rojas bat. And two is make sure you make the right pick with the third pick tonight. So in conclusion from last segment, Philly Sports on the third pick passed on Mike Mussina, Dale Murphy, Gary Carter, John Hanna, Mitch Richmond, Kevin Garnett, Nikola Jokic, and Devin Booker, amongst others. Just saying. Especially some of those baseball ones, man.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't do worst overall, second overall pick bus. I'm glad you didn't go there, Joe. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
You're a good man, Ben Davis. You are a good man. All right, 215-592-9494 on draft day and also reaction to the Phils last night.
So I was texting with Billy King, who gave me, was throwing out all the third, you know, number three picks.
In hoops?
In hoops, yeah. So you got Harden, McHale, yeah. Bob Cousy, Paul Gasol, Pistol Pete.
That's pretty cool.
And you had asked me the question. I had to look it up. Who got drafted in front of him?
Yeah.
Bob Lanier and Rudy Tomjanovich.
Wow. Well, Rudy T certainly was not the right pick.
No.
To say the least.
You got Penny Hardaway, Carmelo, Grant Hill. You know, and as you pointed out.
So Tatum. Penny and Grant may have been the best players for career if they hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah, the injury, especially
they both
Grant Hill.
Were really, really amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. Penny, yeah. I think Penny was amazing. I don't know if he would have been better than Shaq, though.
No, he wasn't the same year as the Weber pick.
Oh, it's the Weber. I'm an idiot. Yep.
So, all right, 215-592-9494. Let's give you an update on Bryce Harper as it was laid out last night by Dave Dombrowski pregame. First, a Harper update, then we'll get to Nola. Here's what Dombrowski said on Harper.
Well, he is making progress. He is getting closer. We kept him back last road trip. It was just a short trip, so he was able to do the work that he needed to. He's starting to progress now. We're even doing some tee work and throwing. It comes down, this is an unusual one in that the doctors have cleared him as far as progress is concerned. So now it's more a matter of pain tolerance once he builds up and how he feels. So really nobody knows that answer. The feeling is that he should be fine as he progresses. I don't know the exact number of days we're talking about. That's where the unusual part is too, because if he continues to progress and doesn't have a great deal of pain, then he can move forward and just get his timing back. Of course, if he does have pain, which we're not anticipating, then you have to take it slower at that time. So I don't really have an exact time frame, but everything is progressing in a positive fashion.
So like a lot of the answers around Bryce with his recovery, there's some good in the answers and some bad. Like one of the things that's good that Dombrowski says is we don't anticipate him having pain, but I feel like, but you do. Like that's why he's slow pedaling it so much, right?
Well, you don't anticipate him having pain, but it's a chronic issue that seems to be
pain tolerance.
So he wakes up and again it's lingering. So it's not, you know, it's delaying things again. But then my experience from the chronic stuff, the tendonitis is, you know, the pre-patellar tendonitis in your knees or the Achilles tendonitis that, oh my gosh, it feels like it lasts forever. But then after 2 years, miraculously, just as soon as it came on, it vanishes. It really is. Like this chronic stuff, when it's an everyday thing.
But vanishes from
thing,
what? From not playing? From resting?
Yeah, from rest. The rest, ice, elevation, you know, the swelling. Right. You get the swelling out. That's the biggest thing toward recovering. But you also just have to give it the rest that it needs.
Is it fair to say, John,
requires not playing anything?
Is it fair to say sometimes it vanishes and sometimes it does not?
Yes.
Like a guy like Chase Utley, I would guess he probably was always playing with some. He just was never the same player again. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He definitely was.
It was
not.
In his knees. It
can linger.
Yes. I mean, look at Joel Embiid.
Yes.
Guys, let's remember this. When Joel played last year, when he played, other than a couple moments, he was not nearly the same effective player. No.
When I came to Philadelphia, I had to put those Chopat straps around my knees for every practice, for every day I did anything. That includes like off-season working out. If we're out on the field, I'm putting those like neoprene straps around my knees because it like pulls your patellar tendon and it makes it feel a little bit less stress when you've got tendonitis in there. You know, I had Achilles tendonitis to where I was trying to tape my ankles without the Achilles part being taped, or at least the trainer, the athletic trainers would leave your Achilles open because you had tendonitis. Like at a certain point for me personally, everything started getting tendonitis. My wrists, it felt like, oh my gosh, I got to tape my wrists every day because I can't bend them anymore during the season. It's just like things wear out.
Well,
and the only thing you can do is rest it and hope it gets better. And during the time that you're resting it, you're icing it as much as possible.
Yeah, this seems to me, and I could be way off on this, I don't want to speculate, but this could be one of those injuries that it only hurts when you do certain things. Like the only time his wrist hurts is when he swings a bat.
Yeah.
And that could be alarming. Yeah, you know, absolutely. That we all have those injuries in the past that it only hurts when I do this. And then you say, well, don't do that.
Right.
And then you say, well, it only hurt this.
That's playing baseball.
But that's what he does.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I'm worried about
it. So, Devin, when you're down there and you're there for most of the Phillies' home games, how often do you see Bryce around?
Every time I'm down there, he's very much around. And he spoke on Friday before the Mets series. He spoke with media. And I found his answers, like, you know, both he and Rob Thompson have you know, updated the progress that he's making. You know, he's taking grounders. He's doing the warm-up, the pregame work, the batting practice now. He was hitting off a tee then.
Yeah.
But what concerned me...
And that number's
me,
increasing, right? Like, the number, it used to be,
I guess,
40,
yeah.
then 45, then 50. It feels like it's more numerous, the number of swings.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. They're, like, treating it like a pitcher is, like, increasing his pitch count. But, what concerned me was he basically said, like, we don't know what it is. We've gotten sporadic and different answers from different doctors. So, like, this means that they're going to different doctors and consulting them, seeing what answers they're getting.
Yeah.
And to me, that just shows, like, okay, so you don't really know what this issue is. And then someone asked, well, what happens if it goes away and then comes back? And he said, I don't know. Like, it just feels like a very unknown situation. I think Dombrowski, like you just pointed out, Joe, in his interview last night or whenever that was, Houston, where he said, you know, he's not in pain or something along those lines. I think he's saying that to kind of like not start, you know, panic in fans saying, oh my gosh, Bryce Harper might be cooked for the season.
You know, and the grander issue is also just the rest of the contract and career. You don't want him to be, and look, I love Bryce Harper. You don't want it, and I love Ken Griffey. I mean, I wasn't a fan of his teams, but Griffey was a player that reached a certain age, and just you got declining results the rest of the way. By the way, the Phillies are, I'm sure no one else knows this, the Phillies are three games away from the halfway point of Bryce Harper's contract. So it was let me frame this. It was a 13-year deal. He's played six prior years. In three games, they're at the halfway point of the season. This will be 6.5 years into a 13-year deal in 3 days.
We used to...
So frame that in your head when you think about the injury.
This is something that I hadn't ever thought about, and I don't know much about, you know, I had Mormon teammates. I know that that's something... I don't know how that factors into taking like anti-inflammatories and things like that. I know that sometimes guys didn't want to mess with some of that.
Sure.
You know, like even Advil, Mormon teammates that I played with.
Wow.
So this is like something that I hadn't ever thought about with Bryce.
Give that question to Devin to ask.
No, so
but it's true. I mean, he's a Mormon. He's talked about it, you know.
You get older and stuff starts hurting more and you got chronic stuff, if he does have, you know, feelings about taking like anti-inflammatories. Like, I don't know if that factors into this.
I have no clue.
Does that make it harder to manage some of these ongoing things?
Go down there and ask them, John.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to one more injury update and then right back to the phone. So we also got a NOLA update last night from Dave Dombrowski. Doesn't strike me like he's going to pitch anytime soon. Here's Dombrowski last night.
Well, he will rejoin it sometime after the All-Star break. I don't have a specific time frame on that, too. He is throwing. He is now throwing. Today, I think, was the first day he was actually going to go out there and play catch. And he said, I just saw him when he was coming in. He said he felt good. So then he's almost in a spring training mode, though, at this point. So it's a lengthy period for a starting pitcher to get ready. That's the difference. If you got a bullpen guy, you can get him ready pretty quickly. So you're really talking about a good month process of building up. So at this point, you're definitely talking after the All-Star game. And it could even be a little bit longer than that.
You know, when he says All-Star game, could be a little bit longer. All-Star game's in 3 weeks. You know, it's second week of July, basically. So I would guess this is like late July. Just a guess.
I'd guess August, even.
Yeah, I was about to say at the earliest. Yeah, late July at the earliest. Let's go to JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, JB?
What's up, Johnny? I think the more I'd caught the tail end of that about Bryce and medicine, he's a modern-day Mormon. That's kind of an old-school thing for them not taking.
Is it? Like, I have no idea. And I know that that's stuff that, you know, you just don't really know for sure. That I hadn't considered.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a part of it. I think he needs to be shut down and kept out until as long as he needs to be. This part of the schedule is like the amen corner of the Philly schedule for the season. This is 11, 12, and 13. This is the toughest part of the schedule. Leave them out. Let the chips fall where they may. Get them back healthy. Then you're going to get Nola back healthy. Reboot, because we know the Mets and the Braves are just going up and down and back and forth. I don't think they'll be out of anything when this is all said and done. And you go in hot with hopefully a healthy Bryce and hopefully something of a Nola coming back. And then you take on the end of July.
Well, yeah, I think that's – I mean, JB, I think what you're saying is what they're doing. I mean, they're clearly not rushing either player back. And I think it's not the end of the world that the Phillies lost that game last night. I will say, watching it while they were struggling to score and ultimately scored none, I did think this is the kind of – and especially thought this at the end of the game – this is the kind of game they may have won if Bryce Harper had played. He could have made the difference in that game to get one or two runs on the board to win the game.
Especially in those first six innings.
Yeah, because you had guys on.
They had Framber on the – I mean, he was walking guys.
There's no question.
There were errors. There were chances.
There's no question. And then the trickle-down effect of just having lesser players in the starting lineup and having them deeper in the batting order. Because what was it, 6-7-8-9 last night? It was
– it was Kemp.
At the end, it was Kemp, Sosa, Kennedy, Rojas.
Kennedy and Rojas. I mean, that was, and to have those four guys bat in the ninth, that was tough, man.
You know, when Hader put his glove up to his mouth, he was laughing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Well, I was not. Yeah. No. JB, give me a big answer, pal, for a scene with a real-life spot in it.
Before I do, I think the rest of the lineup has to actually help. To hold one player accountable at the end of the game is kind of tough. That bottom that you just talked about, I think they were like 2-for-16 for the day.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It's bad. How about Sean Connery and Nick Cage, The Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Alcatraz.
Well, okay, give me the scene.
You can use the scene where the explosives roll off the rock.
Okay, welcome to the rock.
No, you're saying the thing where he's got to save those things from falling over the edge, and if they do, then everyone's going to die, that thing?
Correct.
Yep, okay. No, I remember that scene. Yeah, that's...
Good speed, Godspeed.
That's pretty good.
Last time I swam this channel, I was your age.
Wow.
Holy cow, Ben.
That is awesome.
Well done, Ben.
I didn't know you had that in you.
Connery in your bag.
That's a Ben Connery doppelganger sound.
I'm impressed.
Dead on.
That was strong.
I'm very impressed.
Can you do more than just The Rock, Sean Connery? Can you like just freelance?
I could do the Jeopardy Saturday Night Live.
Oh, those are the best. That's my favorite, Connery. Swords is an S-word.
Tremendous.
We watch those in the newsroom all the time.
I think that's the funniest SNL bit of all time.
It's the best. It is certainly one of the best.
I don't know how Will Ferrell keeps a straight face with those guys. It's just
Yeah, your
funny.
Mother, Trebek.
They're the funniest ones.
The swords thing is great.
Swords thing is all time. Yeah.
We go to Rob in South Jersey. Rob, good morning.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for the draft tonight. You know, I'm not going to – NBA is probably my number four sport. Mm-hmm. But I think trading back and getting a player that can help them now because of how much money they have tied up in these guys. And if you don't, you know, you kind of reset the button here and Sixers are kind of irrelevant.
Rob, guess what I'm doing?
What's that?
Resetting the button. And by the way, that doesn't mean trade everyone you have because I don't think you can. But my point is, I'm drafting for
the button.
Meaning, I'm drafting for the future. I'm drafting for the future. I'm not drafting to try to chase a title with a guy who I don't trust to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think Daryl Morey wants to chase a title. So
I do too. My guess is Morey is going to try to chase the title. That's my guess.
Yeah. I wanted to call him about last night.
I feel like you got to. I feel like if those guys are going to try this year, if Joel and Paul are going to try,
yeah, but John,
you got to try with them.
But Embiid has to actually be able to play.
That's the pathetic state of the NBA.
Yeah, but it's not just about Embiid trying. It's him being physically capable. I think he tried last year.
Well, that's part of it, too.
I just don't think he can answer the bell anymore. I really don't. I hope I'm wrong. It's just my opinion. I don't think he can answer the bell.
Joe, getting to the fills, I think you probably used the best word about last night's game. It was irritating.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's not going to hurt them. You know, they're fine. They've been playing well the last couple of weeks. I mean, but to waste a gem against a good team from Ranger like that is irritating. And, hey, listen, when it's 105 degrees in this area and people work hard and they get home and watch their fills, nobody wants to see Buddy Kennedy and Johan Rojas in the lineup. With all due respect to them, to quote Clint Eastwood in that movie, get off my team, please. I don't want to see these guys anymore. And it speaks volumes of what Thompson thinks of Stott and Martian Kepler that they did not get a chance in the ninth inning.
Well, Rob, I agree with you on that. But Rob, there also are facts. This I'm going to give you two. One of them, Stott against a left-handed pitcher has a lower batting average than Rojas.
That's fine.
Fact two, Kepler against a left-handed pitcher, lower batting average than Rojas. I mean, they weren't great options. I would have used one of them, but let's not act like he was bringing in a great option if he does. He was not.
Here's the thing. In the top of the second, they had first and second, nobody out for Kennedy. I was thinking he's going to stack bunt here. Valdez is a good pitcher. Runs are going to come at a premium. He didn't do it because he knows second and third with one out with Rojas. Rojas can't do the job. It's horrible managing. I'm sorry, but it is.
All right, Rob, give me an answer for a scene with a spot.
Real quick, the last thing I want to say about the deadline, we got to get the hashtag hungry like the wolf Duran going. I want Jaren Duran from the Red Sox and Johan Duran from the Twins.
That. Yes.
That's pretty good, actually.
Great idea.
It's very good.
And then
Duran or whatever from the Twins would cost a lot. He's really, really good. One of the better relievers in the sport.
But, Rob, I like your creativity there.
Duran.
All right, give me a great scene with a location that's central to the scene, Rob.
How about, I can't believe nobody said this, King Kong in the Empire State Building.
Been waiting for it all show.
Great answer. Holy cow.
That certainly could win.
The Doran, Duran, and King Kong all rolled into one call. Nice job.
That's a very nice job. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Let's close them out. Both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, so what we were just talking about there, end of the game, and Rojas earlier in the game, and all the Rojas stuff. So we have this poll question related to that final at-bat and what bothered you the most with that at-bat. So the four choices were Dombrowski's bench stinks. Choice B was Topper not pinch-hitting Rojas. C was that Rojas chose to swing at a 2-0 pitch. And D was that Topper let him swing at a 2-0 pitch, didn't give him a take sign. All right, John, you know this is going to be a tough one today because just amongst us six, we had different answers.
Yes.
I mean, we actually touched all four bases. Which one do you think won the poll amongst the people?
I think it's B, topper.
It is not. It is Rojas swinging at the pitch. Not Rojas knowing not to. So Rojas swing.
Did he not know?
Yeah, he's just a confident.
He just couldn't.
He's a confident guy. He just went. I remember hearing a quote from him last year about his belief in himself as a hitter, and I'm like, dude, like you're not Ricky Henderson. You're Johan Rojas.
Again, though, his manager might have believed that he should swing there if it's a good pitch.
He might have.
Yeah. And again, I get that. Like, if you're facing Hader right. in that spot, 2-0, like...
I don't trust him to walk him.
I get it. I just don't trust him to walk him. I think he'll challenge him at 3-0 and he'll beat him.
I literally believe the Phillies' best chance to win the game, I swear to God, would be if Rojas made the decision at 2-0 that he, under no circumstance, would swing at a pitch.
I think he would have struck out. Hader's awesome,
He
man.
May have, he may not. If he didn't swing at the third pitch, it would have likely been called a ball. Now it's 3-0.
And I think Hader still would have struck him out.
Maybe. Probably not. All right, so
probably.
John. No, at 3-0, probably not.
Probably. Dude, no. Hader is still way better than him. At 3-0, it doesn't matter. It's a hitter's count. It doesn't mean he wins the count.
You're not going to convince me that it's more likely that Hader would throw three strikes than one ball. You're not going to convince me of that. I mean, if
I think it's true. Okay. I mean, against Rojas, he's not going to challenge Rojas in that spot.
All right, so John, here's the results. Rojas swinging 2-0 is 35%. Topper not taking Rojas out of the game is 33%.
Oh.
Dombrowski's bench stinks is 20%. And Topper letting him swing is 12%. They're all meaty answers. You know, there's meaning behind all of them. And the confluence created a bad moment. All right, second poll question. If the Sixers draft a guard tonight, who do you think is more likely to be traded before the season starts? Rhea, would you go with Maxey or McCain more likely to be shipped out?
McCain.
And what's your reasoning?
Chase
the title? Maxey gives you a better chance in the here and now? Which he does, by the way.
I just think, you don't know how McCain's going to come off. You know, we're all expecting, he's just going to be fine from the knee injury. I don't trust that until I see people playing. So, I don't know.
I'm very torn on this one. Devin, who do you think is more likely to be dealt? Maxey or McCain if they draft a guard?
Neither, but if I had to choose between the two, I'd say Maxey.
Is McCain
harder? McCain was like the team representative at the lottery. Like he's been, I just don't think that they would push him out there as the
rookie face
that
they know they can force to do stuff because he's the young guy who's also played and he doesn't have the cachet to say, no, I don't want to go do that.
Yeah.
I do think that teams love when they got the young guy.
Well, they
who
do
plays.
Love that. But Maxey also serves a lot of that role as well.
He does, I mean, they do love him.
He's a get along well guy.
And let's
too.
Be honest, this is the organization that built an entire promotional campaign around Michael Carter Williams and traded him.
Is it crazy to say that I think McCain has more long term upside than Maxey?
It's possible.
I'd have to see.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
No,
I don't think it's crazy at all.
I love
Devin. I got to see him play more.
Yeah,
but I'll say it's possible.
Yeah.
He's a great shooter, man. Disappointing.
A reconstruction, right? Well, I mean, this is major. Yeah.
You talking about McCain?
Yeah, McCain.
I thought it was a meniscus, right?
No, I thought he tore his ACL.
No, it wasn't
an
ACL. It was a meniscus or something. Yeah. It was not an ACL, for sure.
In this case, in basketball, guys, the meniscus.
Oh, well, look, it's killing Embiid's career.
Remember, who was it? Rose Joel? In Chicago?
Right.
Holy cow, that was meniscus.
Well, that was an ACL.
That was all of it.
He tore everything.
Meniscus, ACL, it was all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
But the problem for him was meniscal. Remember, he tried coming back, and it was meniscal, and it's a different story.
They shaved it away and shaved it away and shaved it away, and then next thing you know,
nothing there.
Yeah, you got arthritis and bone on bone, and you can't play as well. John, who do you think won this poll for more likely to be traded if they draft a guard?
Man, I have no idea. Springer, I guess?
Our choices are Maxey or McCain.
Oh, okay, McCain.
With Jaden Springer?
Yeah, I'm wondering. He wasn't a choice.
Mo Cheeks.
Why did you say Dana Barros? Yeah,
like, yes.
Oh my God.
Can it be someone not on our team that we can
All right,
get
so
rid
McCain
of?
Wins the poll 63%. I have no feel for this one. Maxey and McCain represent two very different things on the trade market because of their salaries. Not so much because of their skill. Maxey makes a ton. McCain makes almost nothing. So
Maxey's maxed, right?
Well, Maxey's got a max for his age.
What a difference.
Yeah. And McCain's entering year two of a rookie deal.
What a huge difference. I'm looking at them. I'm viewing them as almost comparable if he can come back and be healthy enough with the...
Look, it's possible McCain's viewed as a more valuable player in a trade. It's possible because his salary's so low. I mean, it's possible.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.